Would you stand with me as we read God's word this morning? We're going to be reading from the book of Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." You may be seated.
Oh, good morning. I've come a long way to tell you about the most important event in my life. Happened a long time ago, but it seems like just yesterday. It changed my life. This story has changed the life of millions. In fact, this story is so important that Matthew recorded it in the Bible. You'll find our story in Matthew chapter 2. I'll never forget that night. Some of my friends and I invested our lives in studying the stars and teaching people about their significance. We're astrologers from the eastern side of the old Persian Empire. You all know it today as Iran. Our job was to study the stars and understand the implications of the movement of the stars for the political situation surrounding us. Make our king look good. Most of the time, that's a pretty routine job. Except for a few shooting stars once in a while, not much changes in the heavens. From one night to another, there's not a lot that's different. We believe that when changes do occur, they're significant, that they have some special meaning, that the heavens tell us a story. I'll never forget that night. That night was unique. My friends and I were looking up in the sky at the stars, as we often did, and then we saw it. Something we had never seen before. In fact, we've never seen anything like it since that night either. We saw a strange star in the east. We've never seen a star like this one. This star had to be the one that astrologers had told us, and they'd been seeking for generations, wishing they would see it. We got to see it. We were probably the first ones in the world to see it. In fact, only a few people ever did see it. Most people didn't know it was coming. And after it had gone, few people knew that it had even been here. This had to be the star that our fathers had told us about. We weren't sure exactly what it meant, but we knew it was important. Even the heavens noticed it. It meant that a king was born in Israel. We decided, almost without thinking, to go and see for ourselves. So we went to the logical place where you would expect to find a king for Israel. We went to the palace in Jerusalem. When we got there, we discovered the strangest thing. They didn't know anything about a new king being born. They wanted us to tell them what we knew about the birth of their king. We told them we'd seen his star. We'd come to worship. Herod the king, really all the people with him, seemed disturbed. He called the religious leaders and the priests and teachers, called them together and asked them where the Christ was to be born. The Christ. That's an interesting name for a king. The Anointed One. They told him that one of the prophets said he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. It's a small town about 5 or 6 miles south of Jerusalem. The prophet announced that someone would be born in Bethlehem, a ruler to shepherd God's people. Verse 6 in Matthew's account, he tells us, "But you, Bethlehem," quoting the prophet, "you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Herod took us off to the side where no one could hear. And he asked us when we saw the star. He told us to go to Bethlehem, look for the king. Then when we found him, he wanted us to come and tell him so he could go down and worship him also. You know, I never could figure that out. Why he didn't take a bunch of men to find out for himself. And we'd come all this way, days and days of travel, to see this king and to worship. And he's content to sit back in Jerusalem and just have us bring word to him when we find him. Didn't that seem strange? That he wanted to worship him, but he was in no big hurry or not especially anxious to go himself. Why would he trust a bunch of foreigners who had never even been on the road to Bethlehem in their lives? Why would he trust us to go down and come back and tell him what was going on in Bethlehem? Wouldn't he want to see for himself? Even the religious leaders didn't seem very excited about it, about going to find this Christ that God had promised to send. Anyway, we wanted to go to Bethlehem, so we left him there and started out for Bethlehem. Suddenly, the star we saw in the east appeared again ahead of us. It led us to a house, stopped right over the house as if pointing to it. We were so excited we could hardly contain ourselves. We never seen anything like that. A star pointing its finger at a specific house. How strange is that? We've seen a lot of stars, but we've never seen a star do that. God must be in this. We go up to the house, and there's the child and his mother. By the time we arrived, he was no longer a baby. He must have been at least a year and a half old, though, frankly, I'm not real good at guessing children's ages. As soon as we saw him, we knew this is the one we were looking for. We'd never seen a child like this one. He was the king, but not an ordinary king. He was special. Even the heavens announced his birth. We wanted the finest of gifts for such a special king. Gold and spices, perfumes, only the best for a king like that. We left our families behind and traveled for weeks to get there. But it was worth every minute of it. We had come to worship the King of all kings. When we saw him, we knew we had to bow before him. We fell on our faces and worshiped him. I'll never forget that moment. Never. This child bore the imprint of God. But there was something else going on here. There was something significant that we never could figure out. Remember, I told you we thought it strange that the king wouldn't go look for him? There was something about that panicked look in the king's eye, the way he questioned us. Something wasn't right. We could never quite figure out what that was. And then as we were going back to Jerusalem, we received a warning in a dream. Then we understood what was wrong. The warning advised us to go back a different way. Herod didn't want to worship this king. He wanted to kill him. Later we heard he sent men to Bethlehem with orders to kill all boy babies 2 years old and under. Verse 16, Matthew writes, Herod, when he saw that he'd been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. based on the time we told him, we almost felt guilty. He wanted to be sure that this king didn't get away. But God had a plan that wouldn't be ruined by Herod. God sent a messenger to Joseph, just like he did to us. He sent a messenger telling him to go hide in order to protect the king. God wasn't going to let this evil king destroy his plan. Could you imagine how Herod could even do such a thing? He seemed familiar with God's promises. He knew this Christ would set God's people free from pagan powers. If anyone should have been excited about the birth of this king, it should have been Herod. Didn't he want what was best for his people? For God's people? He knew all about our story. He never questioned the evidence. In fact, he was terrified by it. He wasn't going to take any chances. No king was going to threaten his future. He'd already demonstrated that even in killing some of his own family. He was really deceptive. He said all the right things. He brought together all the religious leaders and talked to them about what the Bible says about what was going to happen, as if he were really interested. He acted really interested. He pretended to be interested in worshiping God, in worshiping the king that God had promised to send. But as we discovered, all that apparent interest was fake. He wanted to look good. He wanted people to think that he was interested in religion and in God's people. He wanted them to think that he wanted to do right. But his real goal was to destroy the one God sent, to keep him from power, to stop that one from affecting his life, from changing his plans for the future. We traveled all that way to worship the newborn king. Herod wanted to kill him. He didn't want anyone to follow Jesus. He wanted Jesus out of the way, out of his life, to not make any difference in his society and his people, and his life in particular. Once he heard about the star, the sign in the heavens, how could he just ignore it? How could he kill the king that would free his people from that Roman monster that was ruling over them? Don't you think he'd welcome him? I just can't understand it. But a lot of years have come and gone since then. I'm a lot older and a lot wiser than I was back then. I've come to realize that people aren't as sincere as they want us to believe. Years later, I heard that God had protected the newborn king. He grew up and became a famous teacher. He went all over Israel doing good, telling people the truth about God and about themselves. He announced that he'd come to save his people, to set them free, to establish God's kingdom on earth. Then his own people did the same thing Herod did. They saw the evidence. They acted religious. But it was all fake. They nailed him to a cross and killed him. They killed their king. Years later, I heard good news. Do you know why Jesus died on that cross? He wasn't just a victim of evil men who wanted to destroy him. You see, it was God's plan that he die to take the punishment for the things which I have done, a punishment that I deserve to pay. He was willing to be nailed to a cross and die that I might have life. God placed my sin, my guilt on him. He died so that God could give me eternal life. The Bible says, he who trusts in him will never perish, but have eternal life. Isn't that great news? That's a gift I want. Think about it. The King of all kings, the greatest king ever born, died that he could give me a gift. The gift of eternal life. If I trust him, instead of trying to make my own way, trying to be good enough, trying to perform better, trying to fulfill my plans, if I trust him, I can receive his gift. You know what? Even after seeing the evidence and hearing about this baby who became man, God became man and died on the cross to take the punishment for our sin, people still don't want to welcome him. Some people still want to destroy him. They want to kill him. They want to put him out of their memory. They want no thought of him affecting their lives. They just as soon Herod had his way. They still won't receive his gift of eternal life. They still want it their way, their plan. Credit for themselves, for their accomplishments. I don't understand why they would try to avoid worshiping him. I just don't understand it. Do you? Can you understand why anyone would try to avoid worshiping him? Surely, you'll join me in trusting him and worshiping him, won't you?